Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Rest assured, you'll get your money's worth. With this show, it happened out at the Aussie Show.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 33 of Frank's Music Free For All podcast. This is the show where I play what I like, and I like what I play. I'm here once again to give you some of my favorite songs, and this week we are doing another themed show. I thought it worked really well when I did that show on cover songs, and well, I've been wanting to do a Beatles-themed show for a while, but I thought that that might be a little bit too easy. And maybe some people wouldn't find it terribly interesting, but I did come up with sort of an alternate idea of that. What I've decided to do is present you songs that the Beatles wrote but never recorded and gave to other artists. So this is a whole bunch of stuff that you've never heard before, most likely. If you're a diehard classic rock fan, maybe you've heard some of this stuff. But I think for the most part, this is going to be stuff you've never heard before, and hopefully you'll find it interesting, and you'll get to see, you'll get to hear what the Beatles never got to record. Some of these songs are fantastic, and I don't really know why they didn't record them. I would love to hear their versions. Others they actually did record demo versions of, but never released. But in any case, these are all what I feel are really great songs. I love them as much as any other song. I grew up listening to some of these songs just because they were done by like British Invasion artists, and that's kind of my favorite musical era. So I love them just for that reason. Anyway, I hope you're going to enjoy this because I've picked some songs that I really, really think are fantastic. The first song starts appropriately with the title "Hello, Little Girl." We'll start off with a hello. This song is by The Foremost. That's F-O-U-R, most. And they recorded quite a few songs, actually, that the Beatles didn't use. You'll find that a lot of these songs, and this is a good example of it, they sound like Beatles songs. You could hear them recording this, you know. I think this is just a good way to start things off because of the hello, frankly. I think I just thought that would be a good way to start. Anyway, here's The Foremost with "Hello, Little Girl."
Hello, little girl. Hello, little girl. When I see you every day, I say, hello, little girl. When you're passing on your way, I say, passing by, I cry, hello, little girl. When I try to catch your eye, I cry, hello, little girl. I see you frown, but you don't care. You never seem to see me standing there. I often wonder what you're thinking of. I hope it's me, and love, love, love. So I hope there come a day when you say, hello, little girl.
Hello, Little Girl by the Foremost. Like I said, you can really hear the Beatle influence there. I mean, you can tell that they wrote these songs. What they did at that time, and Paul was a big proponent of this, his whole idea was to sell songs. One of his first thoughts was, well, we should write songs and sell them. That'd be a great like business to sort of have. Kind of like, you know, lots of people at the time were just songwriters, and you have it still today. People who just write songs and sell them to artists to record. The Beatles were interesting because they were writing their own songs, recording them, playing all the instruments. It was kind of unusual at the time. It was very, I mean, the way things were done was one person writes the songs, another person plays the instruments, another person sings it. They were doing all of it at once. So Paul wanted to sort of maintain that idea. Well, you know, we can also on the side write songs and sell them to other people. Like I said, some of these songs were recorded. This was, I've never heard them do a version of Hello Little Girl, but there were some songs that I've heard demo versions of that sounded pretty good. Anyway, another song that I really love is called Bad to Me, and it's by Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas. It couldn't be a more like 60s sounding band name, Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas. But it was a really good group. I've heard several of their tracks. And again, they did a few Beatles songs. They bought a few Beatles songs and tried to record them with some success. This one is one of their more popular ones, I think. I actually saw Billy J. Kramer at one of those, I don't know if near you, wherever you live, your local PBS station, I know mine, shows these like reunions of all these different groups, these concerts that they do with all these different groups from whatever era, like a doo-wop one or a 60s one or whatever. And these, you know, these artists who are still around and still performing will all get together and do all their songs, their hits. Anyway, I saw Billy J. Kramer at one of those a couple of years ago, and he still looks good and still sounds very good. And he actually did this song. So here's Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas with Bad to Me.
If you ever leave me, I'll be sad and blue. Don't you ever leave me, I'm so in love with you. The birds in the sky would be sad and lonely if they knew that I lost my one and only. They'd be sad if you're bad to me. The leaves on the trees would be softly sighing if they heard from the breeze that you left me crying. They'd be sad. Don't be bad to me. But I know you won't leave me, 'cause you told me so, and I've no intention of letting you go. Just as long as you let me know, you won't be bad to me. So the birds in the sky won't be sad and lonely, 'cause they know that I've got my one and only. They'll be glad you're not bad to me. Of letting you go, just as long as you let me know, you won't be bad to me. So the birds in the sky won't be sad and lonely, 'cause they know that I've got my one and only. They'll be glad you're not bad to me. They'll be glad you're not bad.
Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas with Bad to Me. Like I said, great, great track. And that one, I mean, I can hear it. I can definitely hear it being a Beatles song, but less so than like Hello, Little Girl. I think, I think Billy J. Kramer really like made that sort of his own. And like I said, I've never heard a Beatle version of it, but that kind of sounds like the kind of song that John would have written. That's just, I mean, I could be completely wrong, but that's just my feeling, that it sounds like more of a John song. I can picture him writing it more than I can picture Paul having written it. I should say that I'm pretty sure all of these songs are Lennon-McCartney and not Harrison or Starkey, because that was just the way it worked. John and Paul wrote most of the songs, very few. I mean, there was like maybe one George song per album, if that, and Ringo really just wrote a couple there at the end. But still, you know, there's still Beatles songs because they would have performed it. And I think that's a good example of a John one. The way it worked was that whether Paul or John wrote a song, they would credit it as Lennon-McCartney. That was like their legal agreement. And there was lots of legal bickering in later years. Paul put out a live album. I think it was called Back in the World. And it was just a 2-CD set of his most recent tour at the time, from like 2002, 2003, a world tour. And he tried to put the songs as McCartney/Lennon, the Beatles songs that he did. And Yoko Ono, John Lennon's widow, tried, you know, she contested that because the legal agreement says Lennon-McCartney. Kind of a petty thing, if you ask me, but still, that's the way it works. And it didn't matter whether, if John wrote a song alone or Paul wrote a song alone, they still had a credit as Lennon-McCartney. It didn't matter. So, anyway, moving on. Here's one that I think was more of a Paul song. And actually, I have heard a demo of this with Paul singing. This is called That Means a Lot, and it's by P.J. Proby. This is one that I was very young when the Beatles anthology was released in the mid-90s, 94, 95, 96 maybe, and it started in 94, I know that for sure, but it might have continued into around 96. And when this came out, the Beatles anthology was a 6-CD set in 3 volumes of rare, unreleased stuff. Some of it was songs that were never released at all. Some of it was stuff that had been bootlegged, and some of it was alternate versions of known songs. In other words, like alternate takes pieced together to make a new version of a song, or whatever. And I think this was on there, but because I was so young when I first heard it, I was a little bit unclear as to whether it was actually released on an album or not. So when I first heard PJ Proby's version, I actually thought that I was like, oh, but I've heard Paul's version of this. But I was wrong. It was just the version from the anthology that's had been unreleased until about 15 years ago. But anyway, here is PJ Proby with That Means a Lot.
A friend says that your love won't mean a lot, and you knew that your love is all you got. Means a lot. A friend says that a love is never true, and you knew that this could apply to you. A touch can mean so much when it's all you've got. But when she says she loves you, that means a lot. Love can be deep inside. Love can be a suicide. Come to see, you can't hide what you feel when it's real. A friend says that your love won't mean a lot. Your love is all you've got. A touch can mean so much when it's all you
loves you, that is a lie. Can't you see it? When she says she loves you, that is a lie. Can't you see it? When she says she loves you, that means a lot.
That Means a Lot by PJ Proby. I actually think I like the anthology version, the version that Paul sang on, a little bit better than this, but I thought I'd throw it on here anyway. I still like this version. I just kind of slightly prefer the other version. And I guess, you know what, I guess it's because I heard that version first a long time before I heard this one, so I had gotten used to it. But still, this is a really good song. Honestly, it's one of those songs that I don't know why they didn't just go ahead and release. I think it would have made a great album track, you know, if not a single. If they didn't want to put it on there as a single, I think it would have been a great album track. Now, another group that did a lot of songs that the Beatles gave away was Peter and Gordon. Now, I saw them at one of those British Invasion reunion things on PBS a couple of years ago. And they're still great. It's just a couple of guys named Peter and Gordon, predictably enough. And they did quite a few songs. And I like some of their songs. They're some of my favorites out of these Beatle giveaways. The one that I've chosen for today is called A World Without Love. And, well, it's kind of self-descriptive. So, here's Peter and Gordon with A World Without Love.
Please lock me away and don't allow the day here inside where I hide with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. Birds sing out of tune and rain clouds hide the moon. I'm okay, here I'll stay with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. So I wait, and in a while I will see my true love smile. She may come, I know not when. When she does, I'll lose. So baby, until then, lock me away and don't allow the day here inside where I hide with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. When she does, I'll know. So baby, until then, lock me away and don't allow the day here inside where I hide with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love.
A World Without Love by Peter and Gordon. Just a nice little, happy little song, and I love the instruments in the song. This has got some really great, typical 60s stuff. It's got the organ, it's got that great guitar sound, electric guitar sound. Beautiful combination of stuff, and their vocals are great. And then they still sound good. When I saw them like a year or two ago on TV, they still sounded great. They still sounded as good as this. So, great. I wish I could see them. I don't think they really come stateside too often, but I wish they would, because I'd really like to see them in a show like that. I would love to go to a big British Invasion concert with all these different groups coming up and playing their songs. But that was like that PBS show it was a live show done in like Pittsburgh or something, and it was like a one night only engagement. I wish that they would like take something like that on tour, or even if it's a one night only thing here in New York in like Madison Square Garden or something like that. I would love that. I would absolutely go to that in a heartbeat. But I've seen shows similar to that, but never quite that. One time, and this was, I'm not sure if this was my first concert that I ever attended. It was either this or one other. They were around the same time, so I can't really remember. But I must have been about 3 or 4 years old, and I saw Procol Harum, Steppenwolf, and Jefferson Starship in the same show. It was my first show, so I do remember it. Not much, but I do remember it. And I remember having a blast. It was really fun. I didn't even know the music that well at that age, but it was still great. And I kind of wish I could experience that again, because I'd appreciate it a lot more now. But still, that was a lot of fun. And I wish that I could go to something like that again soon. Maybe I will. Hopefully I will. The next track that I've got picked out here is called Mine for Me, and it's by Rod Stewart. This is actually a song that Paul McCartney wrote and Rod Stewart recorded. This is from later on. This is not from during the Beatles. Paul wrote this later on. But Rod Stewart recorded it, and I don't know really what to say about it. I like it a lot, actually. It's one of those... I'm not the biggest Rod Stewart fan, to be perfectly honest, but I do enjoy this song. I recorded this right off of the vinyl LP, so please do forgive the imperfections, but it is an old record. It's about 30 years old, and I recorded it right off of that MP3, so it doesn't get too much in the way of the song, though, I hope. So here is Rod Stewart with Mine for Me.
In a couple of hours, I'll be driving home to the one I love. So save your breath, sweet painted lady, it won't be me. Over the mountain and under the sea, never be another one like mine for me. It was only an hour or so ago, then I sang my song. Persuaded painted ladies that I could set them free, yeah, yeah, over the mountain and under the sea. There'll never be another one like mine for me. Mine is always, mine is grand. Don't you know that the woman that loved me, she understands. Can't you see that it's mine for me? And in a couple of hours, I'll be driving home to the one I love. So save your breath, sweet painted lady, it won't be me. Over the mountain and under the sea, there'll never be another one like mine for me. You're for me. A woman that loved me, she understands. can't you see that it's mine for me? There'll never be another one like mine for me. Yeah, yeah. There'll never be another one like mine for me.
And that was Rod Stewart with Mine for Me. Like I said, I'm not the biggest fan of Rod Stewart, but I actually do really like that song a lot. It's actually one of my favorites out of this bunch that I've picked for today. It's very catchy. And, I mean, you know, it has nothing to do with Rod Stewart, honestly. It has to do with Paul. I think Paul might have co-written that with Linda, now that I think about it. And it was probably more like 35 years old. I said 30. Not a big deal, but I just, for the sake of accuracy, I think I should put that out there. But yeah, it's actually a surprisingly good song. Now, another one that Paul wrote and in, you know, after the Beatles in like the 70s and gave away was a song that he wrote and gave to the Everly Brothers, of all people, the Everly Brothers. And, well, the Everly Brothers were known more for songs like, All I Have to Do Is Dream and Wake Up Little Susie and Bye Bye Love. And, actually their song Kathy's Clown was one of the songs that inspired the vocal harmonies on the Beatles song Please Please Me. So here we have one of the Beatles' influences, one of Paul's influences, and now they're recording his song that he wrote. He wrote it with them in mind. He wrote it, he harmonized it with, you know, thinking of them, and they ended up recording it. So I think that's really cool. I mean, here's someone who he kind of idolized, and now they're recording a song that he wrote for them. That's really, really awesome. But anyway, here is On the Wings of a Nightingale by the Everly Brothers.
When I love, I get a feeling like I'm traveling through the sky. On the wings of a nightingale. As I ride, my head is reeling, but I don't even wonder why.
On the Wings of a Nightingale by the Everly Brothers. That, I mean, that sounds like an Everly Brothers song. It honestly, I don't think, if I didn't know that Paul had written that, I don't think I would have guessed it. Because he wrote it for them. You know, he wrote it as an Everly Brothers song, and it just sounds like something they would record. And he did a great job with that, because he kind of masked his own style and took on the style of somebody else, which he's quite good at, actually. Now, here comes another song that I've heard a demo of by the Beatles, but I heard this version that I'm about to play first. This is by Herman's Hermits, and it's called How Do You Do It? This was actually a pretty big success for Herman's Hermits. It might have actually reached number one. It was a very, very big hit for them. And it's kind of funny because I believe the story goes that the Beatles recorded it, and they also recorded, around the same time, they recorded Love Me Do. And their producer, George Martin, listened to the two songs and said, Love Me Do is the one that's going to be your hit. You don't need this How Do You Do It. So they gave it away to Herman's Hermits, and lo and behold, yes, Love Me Do was a huge hit, but so was How Do You Do It for Herman's Hermits. So it's a pretty funny story, and it just shows the potential, I mean, the talent that they had for writing. They wrote two huge hits around the same time. But it did sort of help Herman's Hermits get on the map as well. They were doing very well, too, and they were from around the same area. Very cool. Very cool that they wrote these two hits that were recorded by themselves and another band. I just thought that was a cool story to pass on to you. Here is Herman's Hermits with How Do You Do It?
How do you do what you do to me? I wish I knew. If I knew how you do it to me, I'd do it to you. How do you do what you do to me? I'm feeling blue. Wish I knew how you do it to me, but I haven't a clue. Feeling in my heart like an arrow passing through it. Suppose that you think you're very smart, but won't you tell me how do you do it? How do you do what you do to me? If I only knew, then perhaps you'd fall for me like I fell for you. An arrow passing through it. Suppose that you think you're very smart, but won't you tell me how do you do it? How do you do what you do to me? If I only knew, then perhaps you'd fall for me like I fell for you when I do it to you.
Herman's Hermits with How Do You Do It? A short song, just barely 2 minutes. Not even 2 minutes, like 1:55. Very short song, but a great one. And I heard this version, like I said, a long time before I heard the Beatle version of it that was unreleased. And they're similar, but this is faster and more upbeat. The Beatle version was slower and quieter, for one thing, a little softer, and there were harmonies, but it was kind of Everly influenced, now that I think about it. It did sort of have an Everly sound to it. Not very, very different, and I can't say which one I like more, but I like this one a lot, as much as the other one. Anyway, now here's one. This next song by Badfinger. This is a very popular song, and most people probably don't even know that it was written by Paul McCartney for Badfinger. He really, really liked Badfinger. They were on the Apple label, the Beatles' own label that they started. And he thought that these guys were a really great group. But they needed a hit. They needed a hit to get popular. So what he did was he wrote this song for them, recorded it, and he played all the instruments himself. He played the drums, he sang, he played the guitar and the bass and piano. He played everything on this song, on a demo that he recorded for them, and told them, you have to record this song, and you have to record it exactly like this, because this is the hit version. This is what's going to make you popular. And they said, well, you know, we're going to do our own thing with it. He's like, no, do for the rest of the album, do your own thing. But this one song has to be the single, and you have to record it exactly like I recorded it. And that's what they did. They recorded it exactly the same way. And it was a hit. He was right. He knows what he's talking about. He's Paul McCartney. And here, this is the result. This is the result. And I think you probably might know this one. This is probably the only one that most people would already know. So here's Badfinger with Come and Get It.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Make your mind up fast. If you want it anytime, I can give it. But you better hurry, cause it may not last.
Badfinger with Come and Get It. Like I said, that's a popular song already that many of you may already know. But you might not have known that it was a Beatles song. It was given to them by Paul McCartney. And it's a very cool story surrounding it, I think. It just shows that he's really the expert. He knows what he's talking about. Now, before our last song, I just want to remind you to please check out the site at www.frankpodcast.tk. Send me an email at frankpodcast@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/frankpodcast, and you can send me requests or suggestions or comments, anything like that, via those means of communication. Now, our last song of the day is one by Mary Hopkin. She was very good, but not the most popular in the long run. This song, I think, turned out to be pretty popular, but overall, when you hear the name Mary Hopkin, it probably doesn't bring anything to mind. This is another song written by Paul for her. He actually produced this record. It was on Apple Records, again, the label founded by the Beatles. And Paul really liked her, so he wrote this song for her. And it's called Goodbye, I think an appropriate way to end the show. If you listen, you'll hear some knee slap percussion, and that is Paul McCartney, from what I understand. I think he might be playing guitar on it or something too, but from what I remember reading last time I read the liner notes for this track, I know for a fact he produced it, and he is slapping away at his thighs for for the percussive effect. Pretty funny, I think. Anyway, here is Goodbye by Mary Hopkin. Mary Hopkin with Goodbye, and that's how I'm going to be saying goodbye to you. Thanks very much for listening. I actually just thought about this idea, this theme, very recently. I don't know why it took me so long, actually, because there are quite a few songs that fit this profile. I left out a whole ton that were a lot of them would have been too repetitive because they're by the same artist, and I don't want to overwhelm you with that, but. I enjoyed bringing you these songs. If you want to find more songs like this, just look it up and you'll find plenty of songs, plenty of CDs that have songs like this that the Beatles wrote but never recorded. Great stuff, and there's a wealth of more great music like this. So do look into it, and I think if you like this, you're definitely going to like what you find. Anyway, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Bye.